Are you ready, kids?
Aye, aye, Captain!
Look at me, sure. I'm the captain now.
Welcome to the Supercoach Co-Captains Podcast.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Supercoach Co-Captains Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Dano, and with me as always, we have Paddo. Welcome, Paddo.
Yes, hello, Dano. Hello, listeners. Keen to jump in to another episode. I scored more in round one than I did in, round two than I did in round one, Dano, which was interesting, but yeah.
Yeah. I'm still tuning in from the lovely Morwell in a car park somewhere around here. Where the people are bitter and the weather is shitter. So anyway, we will move on from that. But that's why my microphone and whatnot sounds dodge, because I am in a car. Anyway, move on. Paddo, we didn't mention this last week and we felt really bad. So this week we'll mention it. Who's the group winner? What did they score and who did they have in their team?
So the winner for the week was Kevin with his team Raging Bonner, which is actually a really good team name. So props to that as well, Kevin. Very interesting team. So Nick Dacos, owner, which is intriguing. And we might go into that a little bit later, Dano. Zach Butters was his captain. So obviously nailed that against the pathetic Richmond midfield. But some interesting pieces in this team. So he's got Nasiah Wangle and Malera, which I don't know if obviously he started him, but if you did, Kevin, that is brilliant. Sheasel owner, a young owner, which we will discuss as well. But he's got Bontempelli, Tom Green, Matt Crouch in midfield, which are obviously a few of the big guns on top of Butters. Luke Jackson up forward, Dano. People that started him are very happy, trust me. And Isaac Heaney also got Zach Fisher. So hold on to Zach Fisher for his 101. So yeah, decent team there. Overall rank is 250 as well. So Kevin is off to a raging Bonner of a start, and I'm sure that Bonner will last a bit longer with that team.
Yep, correct, correct. We'll go on to what did he score actually, Paddo? We didn't actually say.
I clicked out of it. I think it was 2170.
Ooh, that's huge.
Which is big in a best 18.
Yeah, that's huge. Anyway, we'll go on to injuries and suspensions. So to start with, Bontempelli, what did he do with his ankle, Paddo? Because he's not listed as injured.
So I didn't catch the first half of this game when it happened, but apparently he rolled his ankle in a tackle, came off, got some treatment, and then scored about 80-odd after that. So obviously it was fine. It's Bontempelli, let's be real. Not listed on the injury report, though, so I don't think there's anything to worry about there, hopefully anyway, because they have West Coast this week, and that game could be over by halftime. So I will be watching very nervously and hope he doesn't get managed in that game. But maybe just something to keep a mindful eye on in terms of captaincy. But we'll go over that when we talk about captains.
Yeah. Nick Caulfield popped his shoulder out and he's been listed to 12 to 14 weeks. So shit times for defensive rookies, Paddo.
Yeah, Caulfield's done this shoulder as well before. It's already weakened. So really tough break for him, no pun intended. I don't think he broke it, but anyway. 12 to 14 weeks is a big, big thing. It just bit of a defender rookie crisis, Dano. So there's not even someone that we can jump on that I think warrants the trade. But a lot of people, myself included, will have Caulfield and Reed on that defensive bench, which makes you very nervous. I think you're okay in the best 18 rounds where the buys are happening. But when you get back to best 23 or 22, I think you get a bit nervous not being able to at least loophole a rookie. But yeah, maybe something to think about in a few weeks.
Yep. Nat Fyfe, he came off and got subbed. I got told it was a precautionary thing, but he might have had some hamstring tightness or soreness or something like that, Paddo.
It was a back.
It was a back. Okay, there we go. Yeah, so I fucking know shit.
So he had some tightness in his back from carrying Frio for so many years. This is an interesting one, Dano. So he scored 69 Supercoach points in 56% game time, got subbed out at three-quarter time. So they were already kind of managing his minutes when he was in, and they backed themselves to close out the game without him. On face value, 69 Supercoach in 56% game time is really, really good. I think people need to chill on him being a trade out, I think he's fine. I think you almost need to ignore the name, not even think that he's a dual Brownlow medalist, champion of the game, et cetera, et cetera. Treat him as like a stepping stone. Ignore the name. He was never going to be a keeper, I don't think. But we just obviously need to make some money out of him to turn him into a Flanders or whatever forward mid-pricer gets a midfield role by round 10, Dano.
Yeah. We'll skip through a couple of these. So Brad Crouch, 6 to 8 weeks, and Dangerfield pings a hammy. Well, it wasn't pinging a hammy. It was like a minor tear or soreness.
He's just got a 34-year-old hamstring. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's hanging on by a thread. He's 2 weeks. The two that I want to talk about really quickly are May and Lever, because it affects one of our defensive rookies because we got the rookie crisis. So that's Stephen May and Jakey Lever. May's listed at 1 week and Lever's a test. Because we're about to go into rookie trade-ins, Paddo, and it's a really good segue. Marty Hoare, what do people do there?
So I would not, with this news of the injury report coming out, I wouldn't go into Hoare. For many reasons, but Marty Hoare in particular. I think that the sub-affected 12 really, really hurts him. So if he was sitting on a break-even of, say, negative 30, negative 40, like a lot of the other rookies are, I think we could maybe advocate this. I feel like he gets a full game in Jake Lever's role this weekend, which could be 100, Dano. That's like Hoare has done that in the past. But that 12 really hurts. So he's barely going to make any money this week. He's going to break even of negative 2 with a projection of 31. He goes up 15K. So I think he gets more like an 80. So he might go up 30 or 40K this week. But if Lever plays this week and May is back next week, there's no way Hoare stays in the team, I don't think. And they've shown that by having him as the sub this weekend. So I think we have to let him go. Now, if you started Marty Hoare, obviously you're fine. You're not doing anything with him. You take his score this week and hope that he can get a fieldable score. But I would not be trading into this just because, I mean, Stephen May broke a rib. It's hard to imagine him back in a week, but he's a pretty tough fucker. So maybe he will be back next week. Who knows? But 2 weeks after a broken rib feels unreasonable. But with that news, I think Marty Hoare is a no.
Yeah, we'll go into, as a nice segue, other rookie trade-ins. So Massimo D'Ambrosio, 224K defender, averaging 105, minus 82 break-even. Is he a must-have, Paddo? What are your thoughts?
I think he's in must-have territory, personally. I think if you've got a Caulfield and or a Reed, and if for whatever reason you've held on to Gibbous last week, I think you find a way to get in D'Ambrosio, whether you're downgrade a Grundy. And we'll talk about that, Dano. I think you need to find the money. A negative 82 break-even is ridiculous. And if he scores 100-odd on the weekend, his break-even will stay negative, and we could be looking at 150K price rise in 2 weeks, which is pretty nuts. So he plays Geelong on the weekend. That's an okay matchup. And then has Collingwood, which is actually a really good matchup for halfbacks as well, which is the role he's playing. I don't think he turns into a keeper. If he does, then great. But I think the money that he's going to make, even off projections, which is projecting him to score pretty low, he's going to get to about 330K based off projections. And to put that into perspective, he's projected to get 59 this week. So I think his scoring will sit around 80 to 90, and I think he's going to be a really good cash maker. So I think you need to find the cash to get the 225K to get him in.
Yeah, it's one of those toughies, Paddo, but I think you're right there. Ollie Dempsey, the one that got away, 148K forward, averaging 78, minus 71 break even. He's looking the goods, Paddo. He will obviously have spike games here and there. But I'm just shattered that I missed out on this bloke, and I should have. It's one of those ones like Jack Buckley last year where I should have backed my gut. What are your thoughts on Ollie Dempsey? I feel like you can fade him, but yeah, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think the forward rookies are looking really good. So if you didn't start Dempsey, I wouldn't be moving heaven and earth to bring him in. His run is actually really awkward as well. So he had 96 against St Kilda in round one, then 59 against Adelaide in round two. I think his scoring will be up and down like this. So he's got Hawthorne this week. It might be a decent score. Then he's got the Dogs, which are obviously pretty tough to play against in general for anyone on the ground. Then North Melbourne, which could be a good game, and then Brisbane. So I don't see how he gets a really consistent cash flow. They've also got some guys to come back into the team. Now, I don't think that will affect. I think they'll find a way to have him in the team, But I just feel like maybe he gets less of the ball when guys like Gary Rowan come back into the team because they are in their 30s, which is what Geelong like.
Yeah. The next one, Jack Carroll, 123K mid, averaging 70, minus 60 break even. With Sam Walsh's back being absolutely fucked, Paddo, he's been given this chance. He had the sub-affected game first and then played all right in the second. So I'm intrigued by Jack Carroll. I started him, and I feel like that he's close to one of those like 9,100 games very, very soon. And fucking his captain, Paddy Cripps, loves him. So what are your thoughts on Jack Carroll?
So it's interesting you mentioned Sam Walsh. So the injury report came in yesterday on Tuesday and so Riley Beveridge has reported that Sam Walsh is expected to resume full training next week and could return after gather round. He is listed as 2 to 3 weeks as well in the official injury report. So I think if you started Jack Carroll, then great. You've picked one there and you've got sort of 5 weeks out of him in a pretty okay midfield role, and you're going to be laughing, but I would not be trading into personally.
Okay. Colby McKercher, can we just skip him? Because he's 202K midfielder, 92 average, minus 68 break even. We're pretty sure most people started him.
Well, he's in 65% of teams, so there are teams that don't have Colby McKercher, so he's another one I think is must-have.
Yep. Jeremy Sharp, 123K mid, 67 average, minus 63 break even. Again, one that I would assume that most teams would have, but I'm assuming he's less than Colby McKercher.
Yes, yes. So he's in 36% of teams. He's one that I think you can let go. I mean, unless you really need someone, he'll probably score their 60 to 70s and be a good moneymaker, but I don't think he's going to hurt you with the ceiling scores that D'Ambrosio or McKercher will score. Showing histories of hundreds already this year. And there's a few other options that I think are pretty nice as well. So I think you can let Sharp go. But if you started him, if you're one of those 34-odd%, then good on you.
Yep. Darcy Wilson, 130K mid forward, 63 average, minus 51 break even. Again, another one that I think most people would have started, Paddo.
Yep, 69% of teams, AO.
AO.
A lot more handy than Jeremy Sharp, purely because he is DPP, so you can sort of move him around. Helps with upgrades as well. I feel like he's looked good without being rewarded in Supercoach, so he's very uncontested game, but I think there's a good score coming. He's had two kind of tough games in Geelong and Collingwood for the first two rounds. He's got Essendon and Richmond in his next two, so gets a little bit easier. So hopefully there's a sort of 80-odd score coming, but I think Wilson is kind of must-have, Dano.
Yeah, I'd say so. Yeah. I'm going to chuck one in there because I just realized he wasn't in there. But I just want to talk about him just quickly. Sean Manor at 117K mid/forward, Paddo. I thought he was going to score over 100 in the last game when he started because he was on 40 at quarter time and then just faded out of the game and then came back really late. So do you think Geelong give him another full run at it?
They do, and I haven't seen him play yet, so you're probably one to I know you were losing your mind on Friday night when he was playing because he was on 45 at quarter time and he said he was going to get 150. I just said settle down and he scored about 60, so just to calm her down. I think he needs to stay on people's radars, and I need to mention Jai Clark as well. I know people are going to get scared off by his 13 in round one. He's in 57% of teams, so there's a lot of people on him. I wouldn't be trading out of this, and I certainly would consider trading into it if you don't have him as well. He rebounded with a 60-odd, and I know his break-even is only -3. His score of 13 falls out after the round four, and then he plays North Melbourne. So he's got Hawthorn, Dogs, and then North Melbourne. Playing a midfield role, he looks young in there from all reports, fumbling it a lot. But I think the role is there. Dangerfield is going to miss a week or two. The human STI is still a while away. So that role is pretty nailed on. That's the guff for everyone playing at home. I think his scoring potential is actually outweighs his scoring so far because he's getting really good CBA numbers. So I think don't sleep on Jai Clark.
Yep. We've got a Buku Kamis, 123K forward, 58 average, minus 46 break even. He's got that backline role, Paddo, and he doesn't look too bad in it. I feel like other forward options are a bit better, but what are your thoughts?
Yeah, if you've got all the other good forwards, I wouldn't discourage people from trading him in. Has the Eagles this week, then Geelong, then Essendon. So the run is actually not too bad. But yeah, kudos if you're one of the 3% of teams that started him or that have him, because he's going to be look to make decent money if he can stay in the team.
Yep. Now, Paddo. Paddo.
Right. You're a fucking rat, Dano.
So for listeners that are just tuning in, I was being told by a very reliable source that's now turned into unreliable that Riley Sanders was being considered for the sub vest last round. And so I had
By the way, it turns out it wouldn't have mattered because he still would have got a full game, but anyway.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Exactly. But yeah, so I had him on the bench the entire time and I had a loop option available. And then it turns out Riley Sanders wasn't starting sub. So I went and put him on field and Paddo fucking ripped me a new one because I think Paddo started him on the bench according to my source. So that's why I'm a fucking dog, apparently.
Yeah, so I didn't have a loop option in my midfield, Dano. So I had to make the decision. I put Wilson on field ahead of Sanders, which obviously looks pretty dumb in hindsight, but I trusted your word from last week. So I benched Sanders because I was concerned. And Sanders ended up playing and scoring 99. That would have been in my best 18, and that would have meant a score over sort of 21-40 for me, Dano. So I'm pretty salty at that.
I am sorry, Paddo. It was a very reliable source that is now unreliable. They'd been bang on about everything before, so my apologies. But anyway, he's a 184K midfielder, 71 average now, minus 37 break-even. He's a must-have.
So, Dana, I'm a bit concerned about this situation because a bloke by the name of Jackson McRae, had about 463 possessions in the VFL on the weekend, basically saying, fuck you, Bevo, why are you making me play this shit? They can't not bring him back into the team, and I feel like he kind of has to play midfield as well when coming back because that's the role he played, obviously, in the VFL. So the one that affects the most, I feel, is Riley Sanders. Now, he's good enough to still potentially play really well, whether he gets moved to the wing, half forward, half back would be really nice. Please, Bevo. But, yeah, we'll see how that plays out. So I feel like that doesn't quite make him a must-have, Dano. But, yeah, he's pretty fucking good at footy, eh?
Yeah. Now, we've got the one gamer here, Sam Darcy, 123K forward, 109 he scored, so he's on a minus 61 break-even. We talked about him as a potential starter in the preseason, but the Dogs and fucking Bevo didn't start him. I'm not sure if he was actually injured or not, Paddo. But he came back and scored that 109. So, obviously, he's not going to be scoring 100-plus every week, but he does have West Coast this week. What are your thoughts?
So, I'm bringing Sam Darcy in this week, Dano, because, and I know you shouldn't bring in a rookie after one game. That goes against everything that the Supercoach gods and OGs and whatever you want to say preach, but he scored 109 against Gold Coast, which is actually a tough matchup for key forwards. He also played a fair bit of ruck time as well for 109. Sam Darcy has the West Coast Eagles this weekend at Marvel Stadium.
Yeah.
So if you think Gold Coast was a tough matchup where he scored 109, West Coast is just about the easiest matchup there is for key forwards and the easiest matchup for ruckman. I am trading Alex Sexton to Sam Darcy this week.
Whoa.
With a boost.
Wowee. Yeah, a lot of jumping off Sexton at the moment.
Yes, he played a lot of forward, which concerns me. So I'm jumping off and getting on Sam Darcy, who should score another triple figure score this week and have a break even very, very high next week.
Yeah, fair enough. The last one is the two in the pink, one in the stink, Toby Pink, 123K defender, 51 average, minus 32 break even. He is, in all honesty, that the fucking defenders at North Melbourne are terrible, but he's better than fucking Aiden Corr, put it that way. And that's not that hard to be better than Aiden Corr. But yeah, Toby Pink, fuck. We're pretty desperate down in defense for rookies, and he's the only one that looks like he's locked on, Paddo.
It's not sexy, but he is not losing his spot in that team. He will end up making 200-odd K. It just might be over 10 weeks. But that's fine because you just flick him on over the bike.
We just need a warm flick, body.
A warm pink body, yes.
Yes, yes. Anyway, we'll go into some primo trading options. So we'll start with the obvious one. Harry Sheezel at 556K, 122 average, 51% owned, 72 break even. Motherfucker is just that good. And if we're talking Hayden Young trades here, people, because the amount of times we say, look, the role's there. Yeah, it's all good when the role's there. But if they're not fucking delivering, sometimes we have to bite the bullet and say, okay, we got it wrong.
So I'm sure we've got some questions about this, so I won't go too much into it. But I just want to say we've had this happen before where a guy has moved off halfback into the midfield. And sure, it's worked for guys like Rory Laird, but it's also not worked for a lot of people. I think of Jaden Short. I think of Jack Crisp. I think of, like, there's other guys as well that have not had that midfield role work for them. Now, Hayden Young looks okay on the field. Like, he's playing a pretty defensive role because Fife's in there, Sarong's in there. It allows them to go do what they need to do. But he's just turning the ball over way too much. Jack Crisp is, like, prime comparison. So I am advocating for getting the fuck off Hayden Young. Harry Sheezel is the absolute obvious one. He will actually get out of reach pretty soon if you don't jump on.
Yeah. We can also go to Hayden Young's teammate in Lukey Ryan, the fake primo that fucking Pato has decided that he loves now. 611K, 146 average, 5% owned, 54 break even. And again, here's another one that will be unattainable very fucking quick. And he's got the most disgusting, filthy, beautiful role in Supercoach.
So I don't even think Luke Ryan had that good of a game. I watched this game way closer than I needed to, Dano, because I have that many Freo and North Melbourne players in my team. I sat down, I watched this harder than a fucking uni lecture, and that's probably concerning, but I did. So, in a poor game, he scored 127. So just imagine what he's going to do against Adelaide in a good game. So this is who I'm turning Hayden Young into. I'm going Hayden Young to Luke Ryan. This role is ridiculous. He's long kicking everything out of defense, so the clangers don't matter because anything over 40 meters is considered an effective kick.
Yeah,
there's lots of contested kicks in there as well because it's that quick chop out of defense. Lots of contested marks as well because he's playing loose. It's the Tom Stewart role, really, and he's averaging 146. Now, obviously, that's not going to sustain, but at 6'11", he will get out of reach very, very quickly. And I don't think you can pay 700K for a defender that's not named Nick Dacos.
Yeah, correct.
So I think it's kind of now or never. I mean, next week, projected to go up 31K. So 640 is maybe the most I would spend on Luke Ryan. But anything above that, I would not be advocating for because you may as well just go get Caleb Sarong or Tom Green or those sort of guys because the midfielders are better. So
yeah,
kind of now or never for Luke Ryan.
Yeah. Tommy Stewart, 635K, 120 average, 24% owned, 121 break even. He's just... Do we need to discuss Tom Stewart? Because he's just picking up where he left off. And yeah, he's going to be in the top six defenders at the end of the year.
Yeah, no, I don't think we need to discuss it too much. He is a little bit of a POD in 24% of teams, though. He's playing that same role, though. He's loose. He's doing what he wants back there. Averaging 120, I think, is another... Like, he won't get out of reach if you don't bring him in this week. But all it takes is one, like, a sort of 180 score, which he's showed that he can do. And obviously, he goes up, so... Yeah, one to keep in your wheelhouse.
You want a real POD at 0.9% owned? Jordan Clark.
I put him on there, Dano, so.
I know. Jordan Clark, 461K, 114 average, and a 34 break even. So, Paddo, you can discuss this one because you put him on the run sheet. What's the go with Jordan Clark?
So, he's almost playing Hayden Young's role from last year. So, he's running and carrying. He's obviously using the ball a lot. And he's a pretty good kick as well. I personally feel like you probably need to see more before you can jump on. Hayden Young's about to turn 23, and he's played 60 games. So he's at that period where, like, this could be his breakout year. You never know. He averaged 94 last year. He averaged 92 in 2022. So he's shown good Supercoach score. Oh, sorry, that's Hayden Young. Fuck. Wrong person. He did not average that last year. He averaged about 60-odd for memory when I was doing my research. But the role looks really good. I don't know if you can jump into it, though. He's actually – Jordan Clark is already 23 and he's played 81 games.
Yeah.
So he's got a bit more experience. Averaged 83 last year, 88 the year before that. If that's his worst case scenario, I don't think it's horrible. Obviously, you're wanting more of a 95 to 100. I think it's difficult because if you are going to trade him in, it's not as a stepping stone, it's as a keeper. And you need to ask yourself whether you think Jordan Clark could be a top 6 to 10 defender. I don't think the answer is yes to that, but I still think he's pretty okay value for now.
Yeah. Yeah. Another one that got away from me that I said was a lock this year, Paddo, and I didn't fucking start him. Nasai Wanganeen Malira, 475K, 111 average, 7% owned, 48 break even. He started off ridiculously well, but now we got, there's two things to this. One, Jack Sinclair back in defense. Does that affect him? Potentially. But the second thing, teams are going to start giving Nasai Wanganeen Malira a bit more attention, I reckon, because he's playing too free and he's being fucking dangerous. What are your thoughts?
I agree. And it's that same question. Do you think Wanganeen Malira could be a top 6 to 10 defender? I don't think he could be. When you look at current averages, I mean, Luke Ryan, Jeremy McGovern is second. He will get injured at some point, so that's why we're not talking about him. Harry Sheasel will be thereabouts. Tom Stewart. They'll be three of the top dogs almost locked in. Same with Nick Dacos. He's currently 13th in average for defenders, but he will be up there. So there's four names already that are almost locked in. Then you've got Dan Houston, which I think will be in that group as well. Then you've got a Lockie Whitfield and sort of Will Powell types who I think are in really good roles this year and will score well. Then you've got your sort of Nick Newman, Elliot Yeo sort of group, which I think score slightly higher than Wanganeen Malira because, as you did say, Jack Sinclair returned on the weekend. Not the Jack Sinclair we know just yet, but give it a few weeks and he is playing in that back line and I think he will affect Wanganeen Malira.
Yeah, okay. Well, you mentioned Elliot Yeo, so we'll bring him up. He's 447K, 103 average, 11% owned, 47 break even. I would not be trading this fucker in. If you started him, keep him, obviously, but I wouldn't be trading him in. It's just too risky. I reckon he's going to break down at any point.
Yeah, 100%. I'm the same. And we've sort of mentioned the last couple of years, like these sort of guys, you can start them and it's okay if they get injured because you're only using one trade. But if you are trading them in, you are stepping on eggshells every time you look at West Coast games as to whether Elliot Yeo has broken down again. And it's sad. Elliot Yeo is a champion. He's a really, really good footy player. And I hate when injuries do affect these sort of players, but it's the sad reality. And you don't want to be using two trades on Elliot Yeo in then out. If you started him, as you said, great. And he could turn into a keeper and be just great for you. And that's awesome. But you kind of have to have that contingency plan if you have him in your team. That's why I would not be trading. It's too risky.
Yep. And another one in defense is Marcus Windhager, 323K, 84 average, 2% owned and 15 break even. So Brad Crouch came out. He came in, scored 104. Didn't really look like everyone was saying he's tagging. It didn't look to me like an actual tagging role. He was still finding his own ball and whatnot. So yeah, I'm not sure about a tagging role as such, but is it a sustainable one, Paddo? I don't know. If you've got like a Connor Butterick and you're really disappointed with him at the moment, because I know some people are, you could potentially go sideways to Windhager there, but I'm just not about Windhager yet.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly wasn't a traditional hard tag like we've seen himself do before. He certainly did have some impact on Nick Dacos in the middle when he was playing midfield. I think this is a good price. I think it's too risky, though. We've seen it for 1 week and he scored 104. He had 7 clangers, Dano, which obviously is not good, which is why I'm kind of surprised he got to 104. The midfield role will be there for the next 4 to 6 weeks, we must say, because obviously Crouch is out and we know that for the next 4 to 6 weeks. 6 to 8 weeks. So it's pretty good. But I don't think he ends up being a keeper. So, again, I don't think you can use a trade to bring him in.
Yeah. We'll move on to the midfield. I don't think we need to talk about these two too much, but Caleb Sarong's the first one. 621K, 156 average, 14% owned, 41 break-even. He's going to get to 700K in no time. Fucking dude's just taking the piss at the moment. Does he get any attention, Paddo?
Oh, he's got to have a hard tag coming up soon. I don't know if Adelaide will do it. I have a feeling Carlton might, and Port Adelaide certainly will the following week. So just keep that in mind. But in saying that, he will get out of reach price-wise very, very soon with a break-even of 41. So Yeah, another one where it's kind of now or long, long way down the line if you're relying on a price drop. So yeah, Fucky looks good though. Like the way he's demanding the ball, Dano, like Nat Fyfe is pretty much in there feeding him the ball, and he's demanding it off Nat Fyfe, and Sarong's just finding targets out of center bounces. But even around the ground as well, his work rate to get those 1-2s is just, it's what Nick Daicos does. And I love seeing that because it means they want the ball, they demand the ball. And Zach Merritt's another one who does this. And you just love having them in your team because you know they're going to get sort of 30, 35 touches at least because of their work rate and how much they're demanding the ball off their teammates. So I'm glad I jumped on Sarong last week. He was my captain or vice captain who I ended up taking, obviously. And I think he's great. He won't average 155, obviously, but I think he'll have a really high average and could even be a top three mid.
Yeah. Butters 636K, 146 average, 20% owned, 68 break even. Same boat as Sarong. Surely will receive some attention. And he'll get out of fucking reach soon in no time, Pato.
Yeah, I would think Melbourne do something this week with him. He's got 184 against them last year, Dano, which is
Ridiculous.
obviously ridiculous. I was waiting for Richmond to do something about Zach Butters. They let him do whatever the fuck they wanted. And we'll talk about this during captaincies later. He needs attention, and surely Melbourne will put someone on him. But he's also had the two probably easiest matchups in the first 2 weeks already, Dana. So I think that has to come into consideration. Yeah, West Coast in round one and Richmond in round two. And I feel like that is the two easiest midfield matchups in the whole competition. He doesn't play West Coast again, and he plays Richmond again only once in round 19. So I think his score is flattered a little bit. But in saying that, he should still be a top 10 mid. So yeah, he'll get out of reach in no time.
Yep. Rory Laird, 653K, 122 average, 6% owned. I'm one of the 6%. 126 break even. So, Pato, you've heard rumors about Rory Laird. What are they?
Not just a rumor, Dano. He came out in Adelaide radio and said that he has discussed with his coaches about possibly moving back to half back, which obviously Rory Laird wouldn't be too thrilled about. But he's a team man, so if the coach says to you, comes to you and says, "Look, we like Matt Crouch in the middle," something has to give because the results aren't quite what they need to be. They're not moving the captain Jordan Dawson out of there, so Rory Laird is kind of the next one down. As someone that's averaged 115 to 120 plus in that halfback role, I think this is actually good news for owners and something to keep in mind. We may get Rory Laird as a defender, hopefully round six, if he
Oh.
does move to that halfback role. He himself said it on radio, so it's not just rumor, it's come from Rory Laird himself. So we'll see what happens there. Obviously, Adelaide are looking to make some changes, so just see what happens this weekend.
Yeah, I'm kind of intrigued. I kind of want him to go back into defense so then I can already have him shift
Yep.
back there.
Yep. Because if he gets
Beautiful.
DPP defensive status, he obviously will be a pretty big target.
Yeah, I'm half tempted to bring in Matt Crouch now.
That's another string to that bow. I
Yeah,
still don't
fuck.
think he scores enough to be a keeper.
Matt Crouch, you don't think, or you do
No,
think?
I can't see him being a top 10 to 15 player.
But at that price point, he's still sub, what, sub 100, sub 500K.
But by round 16, when everyone's finished their teams and I've got a Zach Merritt at M8 and you've got a Matt Crouch at M8, I know who I'd prefer.
Yep, fair enough. Jared Lyons, 258K, 94 average, 10% of teams own him and minus 41 break even. I'm still concerned about this one because Brisbane are 0-3. They're lacking speed in the middle, Pato. They've been caught out on transition a lot. Now they've got no Kitty Coleman. It's very fucking glaringly obvious. And they got Collingwood this week for the battle for the spoon. and I honestly feel like Dev Robertson or someone's going to be in that midfield and Lyons will be shifted out because he's too fucking slow.
Yeah, it's a frustrating one. As someone that's averaged 113, 118 in back-to-back years in a midfield role, it was almost too good to be true. So, look, check team sheets. I feel like they make a change as well. But if they don't, he's named on the ball. They play Thursday night as well. So at 258K, someone that could be a starting mid on a really good team is obviously pretty attractive. I think Lachie Neale plays as well. Obviously, we don't have team sheets just yet, but if Lachie Neale is in, it makes it tricky, and we'll just see where Jared Lyons is named. If at all, he may even be named as the sub, so we'll see.
Yeah. Ruck line, we've just got the one in here, and that's Tristan Cherry, 407K, 108 average, 7% owned, 16 break-even. He looks fucking good, Pato, as the sole ruckman, but a lot of people already have their two rucks. Would you, considering that Grundy has only had the one good game, would you advocate going Grundy down to Cherry?
This is interesting, Dano, because let's start with Brody Grundy, because that's the one that people are concerned about. It's 498K, break-even of 112. This is Brody Grundy's upcoming fixture, and this is important. Plays Richmond this week, which is actually a pretty restrictive matchup because of Big Nank. Nank should play. So that is a tough matchup for Grundy. Grundy has had big games against Nank before, but that's the old Grundy. This is the new Grundy. Then he has West Coast, which should be a really, really good score. And they play, that's at in Gather Round at a small venue. So that should actually be a really, really big score. Then he plays Gold Coast, and we'll see if Witts is back by then or not. If that is Moyle, obviously that's a great matchup, but it could be Jared Witts, and that's not a good matchup. Then he has Hawthorne, who are really restrictive to opposing rucks. Then he has the Giants, which is a good matchup. And then he has Freo, Carlton, Western Bulldogs, Geelong, who are four pretty tough matchups for Ruckman. He's also got a bye after the West Coast game in round five. So I think that has to come into consideration. Tristan Cherry, on the other hand, has no bye, mind you. So he has an extra game in this period of, 8 weeks, 10 weeks until the bye. Yeah. Plays Carlton this week, which is, as I said, a restrictive matchup. Then Brisbane, which is also restrictive. But then he has Geelong, Hawthorn, Adelaide. Hawthorn is restrictive. St Kilda, which is actually not too restrictive. Rowan Marshall does his work around the ground, not in the ruck. Gold Coast is a tough matchup. Then Essendon and Port Adelaide, who are two pretty good matchups for ruckman. So I think if you can do well with the 90K and you're happy with Tristan Cherry being your R2 by round 13, which is after his bye, I think it could be a play. If that's the way that you can get D'Ambrosio into your team, if that's a way that you can get someone that we're going to talk about very soon, Dana, well, we'll talk about it, Tom Powell. If that's your way to get Tom Powell, I can see it being an okay play, Dana, honestly. And I'm toying with the idea. I don't think I can do it this week. What's to say that you couldn't do it at round five, Dana? It might be more of a sideways trade then. You get Brody Grundy against West Coast and then flick him on to Cherry, who has a better run.
And the thing about Cherry as well is he's actually getting the disposals. Like last round, he had 19 disposals. Round before, he had 18 disposals, a goal, and 9 tackles. Like he's actually
that's the other thing. He's tackling like an animal.
Yeah, he's doing the work around the ground too. So yep. I don't mind this at all.
And it remains to be seen whether he'll be able to run out the year in this role. Worst case scenario, he's 100-150K more expensive than he was, and it can be a luxury trade to bring in a Sean Darcy, who might be back playing well by then, Tim English, Rowan Marshall, those sorts. So it's a play. I think it is a play.
Yeah. We'll go on to the forward line. Isaac Heaney, 545K, 136 average, 34% owned, 45 break even. It's literally now or never. He's got Richmond this week, who fucking leak points to midfielders. And Isaac Heaney is in Brownlow medal form, Pato.
Yes, yes. Just quickly, I don't know how he escaped suspension, but as a selfish Supercoach owner, I'm happy he did, because he did have a punch off the ball, which would make some Essendon fans pretty angry, and I can understand that. One thing to keep in mind, I think it was Taylor Adams, is listed as a test for this weekend.
Yeah, who gives a fuck about Taylor Adams? Because Isaac Heaney will be in that midfield.
I think so too, and I even think he's a captain option. So I think he's obviously going to get out of reach very, very soon with a break-even of 45. He goes up to almost 600K this week with a big score. So I think you need to bring him in. If the role changes, he's shown a ceiling of 90, 95 odd anyway as a forward when healthy. So it wouldn't be the end of the world. He's also got Richmond and West Coast in his next two games. So that's pretty fucking juicy.
Yep. Tom Powell, another one that got away, Pato. Fuck, 312K, 112 average, 0.3% ownership, minus 47 break even. Again, in preseason, I spoke about him getting the CBAs and whatnot and how he looks like to be one of the main midfielders now. He's bulked up a little bit. Even though we can't see the KGs anymore, he's another year older. He's quite young still, and people forget he came back from injury last year. They plonked him in the forward line. That's why he's got the sole forward status. And thankfully, they did that because now he's a midfielder and we can pick him up as a forward. So I don't think that he will get affected by anyone coming in, Tom Powell. He had more CBAs and whatnot than all of the North Melbourne mids, and I'm pretty sure out of everyone, including the ruck. So
including Davies Uniacke, who is obviously their best midfielder as well. So I think that is more than enough indication that he is in there to stay. I think the concern is Will Phillips, who is another one that can't really play anywhere else. But I mean, he's not even listed on the injury report, Dano. So I think Tom Powell is safe in there. And the reason this is different, because people might ask, oh, you said that that fucking Windhager isn't a good trading option because he's not a keeper. Tom Powell could be a keeper in the forward line, Dano. And I'm not saying he's going to average 112, because he's not. Plain and simple. He's not going to average 112. I can see him averaging 95, and that's enough to be an F1 to 6. Well, no, it won't be F1, but that's enough. And that's why I am bringing in Tom Powell. And for the 0.3% of teams that have him, that's 526 teams. Fucking good on you.
Should have been 527. Fuck.
That will obviously jump up a lot this week as well. So you're also going against a big crowd of people that are jumping on Tom Powell. In the forward line, he's a keeper. He's a keeper. So that's why you can have confidence in bringing him in. I can't see the role changing.
Nah, neither can I at all. The last one that we've got is a quick cash play here, Paddo. So it's Harry Mackay, 398K. He's averaging 121 in 3% of teams, minus 17 break-even. Who does he have this week, Paddo, and why are we looking at a quick stepping stone play?
So he has North Melbourne, if you don't fucking mind. And he'll actually play against North Melbourne because his twin brother doesn't play there anymore. So put it this way. I'm trading out Jesse Hogan this week. He's done his job for me. Break even's about 60 odd, so I'm flicking him on after his kind of subpar performance against the Eagles. If it weren't for Tom Powell, I would be going to Harry Mackay.
Yeah,
I think this is a good play because he has North Melbourne, then he has Fremantle, who have depleted key defense stocks. Mind you, his last score against North Melbourne was 116, and his last score against Freo was 118. So I think he obviously goes up a lot with a decent triple-figure score this week. He's projected to go 115 and go up by 60.5K. So that puts him at 458K-ish, with possibly still a negative break-even. And then goes Freo. If he gets another 100 there, you're looking at someone that could be 550K by the time Nick Dacos has his bye, and we can just flick him onto Nick Dacos if you didn't start him, or find 50K and go to a 600K guy. You can target Sanders off his bye this week. Flanders. So there's a lot of things you can do with that. Just a quick flip with these extra trades. If you can use some of them to be aggressive and take on these sort of runs and make cash at the same time, I think it's a good play, and it's something that I'll be looking at doing down the road as well, is just targeting those runs where teams will be playing Richmond, North Melbourne, West Coast, like the soft draws. I'd be targeting them.
Yeah. We'll go on to question time, Paddo. I'm going to go in with a few DM questions first. So Sam.
Not those ones.
Oh, no. Not those ones. But Sam has a few questions, and I think we've answered a few of them already. So the first one he said is Jack Carroll worth avoiding as there'll be other rookies coming up in coming weeks? Yes or no, Paddo?
Sorry, what was the question?
Is Jack Carroll worth avoiding as there'll be other rookies coming up in coming weeks? Yes or no?
Yes. I think that's an avoid. If you started him, great. If not, don't worry too much.
Yep, I'm in the same boat there. He says, is Sexton worth holding? Because he has thoughts on Harry Mackay's low break-even against North and he should go pretty good. So obviously he's looking at maybe he's got some extra cash and trading out Sexton to Harry Mackay.
You could do worse things than keep Alex Sexton. But I am concerned with the fact that they made a sub of Atkins on the weekend and Sexton got moved forward into that role and obviously didn't score much after that. So that's enough to scare me off. With the bye this week, I'm turning Sexton into Sam Darcy, as I mentioned before.
Yep. And we already spoke about Mackay. He said, Tom Powell, role looks amazing and will make plenty of cash. Yes?
Yes, no? And yes, he will, yeah.
Yes and yes. And then he goes, who is the fallen primo that you are looking at to get in? So he's mentioned a few names, Dawson or Sicily or even Clayton Oliver.
So, yeah, Dawson was the first one that I thought about with that. Sicily is another one. He had about 10 marks in the first quarter, Dana, which was pretty ridiculous on the weekend. There's not really any fallen primos just yet because if there were guys that were good value, we just started them because the price moves haven't really happened. So there will be some really good value price drops coming up. Oliver is absolutely on my radar as well. Had a really tough tag on the weekend. I think he got an 80-odd, which is great. He got finned. Absolutely on my radar for post-buy, which I think is in a couple of weeks.
I'll say something on Oliver too. His break-even's 168. He's never scored more than 120 against Port Adelaide, ever.
So, we have Willem Drew, who will go to Oliver.
And his projected's 94, so he's projected to go down another 33.8K. So he'll be sub-600K. And then he has the team the next round, which is Adelaide, who he fucking loves scoring against.
So I'll just say Willem Drew will probably even follow Clayton Oliver to Dorovich in Heidelberg. That's how tight that tag will be. So hopefully another sub-80 score there. And then, as you said, Clayton Oliver will love gather round. Apparently, the cocaine is good in Adelaide. So, yeah, I'm looking at Oliver in a few weeks.
Yeah, I'm eyeing the fuck out of him. He could get down to 570, 560, and that's just insane.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were my only DM ones, Paddo. So what are the other questions that we got?
So I'm just quickly looking at some other high break-even guys that we could look at targeting. Jack Sinclair started off with a 78 with a break-even of 153. He could come down to 500-odd and be very, very juicy if that role looks good. Remembering that he scores better at halfback than in the midfield is another one of those types. Jaden Short, Dano, and I know you won't want to hear this, but break-even of 152, he will possibly get to like 480-odd off Richmond's buy. So that could be another juicy one to target. And other than that, there's not a whole bunch better value. Tom Barras is not going to be discussed. if you know, you know. Connor Rosie has a break-in of 136 at price at 600K. So he could be an okay value pick, but I would want to see more from him. Kind of disappointed by his game on the weekend, Dana. I thought he should have probably done a bit better than he did. Other than that, there's not a whole bunch more as I go through these high break evens. So, yeah, let's move on.
So Tate on Facebook goes, he's asked the Supercoach, Nerds for Life Supercoach, this question, but he'd like to know our thoughts. So he said, trading Young and Sam Berry to Ryan and McKercher, but wanted your thoughts on a Miller or Powell option instead.
I like Young and Berry to Ryan and McKercher. I think McKercher's must have. Yeah. Ryan isn't must have, but I like turning Young into Ryan. Could you look at boosting Tate and possibly looking at Powell?
Yeah. So he's actually edited this and said, late update, can I sideways trade Jordan to Powell on a boost?
No, I wouldn't do that. James Jordan scores well and has more money to make, so I probably wouldn't do that. Although if Taylor Adams comes back, that could affect James Jordan's role.
Yeah. Could Heaney be a captain option this week? Tate also
absolutely.
Yes. Pantelis, Peter, who actually runs Nerds for Life Supercoach, he said our thoughts on Jaden Short.
I don't know what Harry's talking about there because Nick Blakey is not an option for that. So ignore that.
Yeah.
It's a tough one. If you started Jaden Short, I'd almost write it out because the role is still there. It just got a bit of attention lately. So Willem Drew kind of played forward and was matched up on a variety of Short and Rioli to sort of nullify his impact, and actually played really well in that role too, did Willem Drew. He's the guy, whether it's a halfback, whether it's a midfielder, he's the one that just negates someone on the opposition. So don't look too much into that. Look, Jaden Short has Sydney this week, so, and if they were going to negate someone, they probably would too, which is pretty brutal. But I feel like this needed to come into consideration before starting Jaden Short and recognizing that he has a bye as well. So it is a bit brutal. Maybe you could jump off and reassess after the bye, because he does have that bye coming up. But yeah,
I say write it out.
If you started him.
I'm writing it out. It's going to turn into this next question, because this is the reason why I'm writing it out. Ian Lloyd, okay, Lloydy says, has the extra trades turned everyone into trade sluts? Because he's made four trades. Obviously, two of those being because of injuries to Gibcus and Caulfield. He also has Zach Reed at the moment. He sees a lot of teams using their second boost with very sideways chasing point type trades. He's also jumped off Sexton this week due to the bye and swapped his forward. And after he swapped forward once accidents came in on the field, because that has him worried too. So do you think people are becoming too trigger happy now, Paddo?
I'm probably not one to answer this, because I've turned into a trade slot this year, Lloydy. I will put my hand up. I need to go to Trade Slots Anonymous and maybe sort it out. But I think that's the play. And I wasn't happy with my structure. I had 1 week of data, well, 1.5 kind of weeks with the O-round as well. And I changed my structure around because I recognized that Guns and Rookies was the play. I posted an early version of my team, and some fucking random Nuffy kind of ridiculed me for being Guns and Rooks and just said, that's not the way, blah, blah, blah. And I'm spewing that I let that kind of dictate how I started my team. So I did what I could to change that ASAP. I saw enough after 1 week. One of my trades was Gibcus, but in saying that, I'll probably have 34 trades left by the end of this weekend. So I probably can't answer this, Dana.
And I'm at the opposite end. I haven't made a single trade. So, yeah. And look, one of us is doing slightly better than the other, because I didn't have the greatest round last round, because I wanted to see I just wanted to see how, like, let's say a Zach Fisher went, and Fisher went good. But then I also held off on trading out Hayden Young, because I was a bit bullish on trading him out. And I was like, nah, I'll give him 1 week's worth of data. In the end, I've got Short and Young. So I've got a few issues myself. And now I'm like, maybe I should have pulled the trigger on one or two of them. But I've also got Zach Reed and Nick Caulfield as well. But yeah, I do think people have become slutty with it, especially with the boosts. Like, I have actually seen people going for their second boost as well. So that's pretty fucked up, if you ask me.
That's what I'm doing.
That's pretty fucked up, if you ask me. Yeah, I think people are too worried about the early buy rounds. They're forgetting about the later ones as well.
I think the flip side of that is the fact that if you don't jump on someone who you really like that has a really good role, they could get out of reach financially.
Yep.
And I see that with a Luke Ryan type. I see that with Caleb Sarong as well. Tom Green, like, here's another one. I've got to try and find a way to get him in before he gets out of reach. Zach Butters is another one again. Like, if you leave it too long, all these guys are going to be over 700K, and you can't make the money to get into them.
Yeah. Chris Walker-Jones says, would you rather $100,000 or see the Pies go 0-4?
I have a hex debt coming out of my arsehole, but fuck, I'd love to see the Pies go 0-4. So, yep, Pies.
Nah, I need the 100K, man.
Yeah, same probably.
Liam said, I've traded out Newcomb, Windsor, and Gibcus for Yo, Darcy Wilson, and Bramble. Thoughts? I don't like that. Can you find someone else to bring? Like, obviously, Bramble to another rookie and then get Yo up to a different primo, because, fuck, don't trade Yo in if you didn't start him.
Yeah, I don't know about trading Windsor out. I don't think he's going to make heaps of money, but he plays this week, so I'd be holding on to him. I would be looking at a Newcomb and Gibcus to maybe – he already has D'Ambrosio, but maybe a different rookie and finding money for Luke Ryan. I think that is probably the play for me. So obviously you go Gibcus up to Ryan and Newcomb down to a rookie that you don't have. Wilson. Yeah, Wilson and Young.
I don't know if it's Lewis or Lois.
Lewis.
But we do have actually a fair few female listeners. Anyway, they say, looking to trade Hayden Young. They already have Nick Dacos, Stewart, Harry Sheezel, Zach Williams, Howes, Gibkiss, Reid, plus 111K in the bank. They'd like to get Young to Luke Ryan, but then wouldn't be able to get Gibkiss to D'Ambrosio. Is there any cheaper options instead of Ryan so that they can get D'Ambrosio as well? I just love saying that last name.
I don't think so. If you Gibkiss to D'Ambrosio is great, I don't think you need to bring another defender there, because if you bring in D'Ambrosio, you've got Dacos, Stewart, Sheezel, Williams, Howes, and D'Ambrosio. Like, there's your six. So I would be trying to get in a midfielder instead if you can, using DPP and whatever cash you have left, trying to find a nice value option. That can be Jack Steele if you don't already have Jack Steele. Even if you can get it to Powell, I don't mind that option. And that probably leaves you 300K in the bank, but that's great. You can go temp Tom Green next week if you don't have him. So I would be, D'Ambrosio, yes, but you don't want to be benching one of these guys being too stacked in defense.
Yeah. Pato, we didn't have any come through on the old Twitter. It was all Facebook and DM. So
the Musk we'll machine.
Move on. Yeah, we'll move on. So we're not called the Supercoach Co-Captains for nothing. Every week we give you guys VC and C options to set your team apart from the rest. So to start with, we have the battle for the spoon out at the Gabba. Thursday night footy. It's the Brisbane Lions versus Collingwood Magpies. Paddo, who you got in this one?
I just want to say, I didn't realise Nick Dacos scored 41 against Hawthorn last year against Finn. That is ridiculous. People are saying he has had his worst game of his career.
Second worst, I'm pretty sure it is.
Yes, second, because that game was horrible. Dacos last year in round four scored 151 against Brisbane, so I think he's a really great VC option. If you are holding him, I think that's pretty much the only option from this game, Dano.
Yeah, I'm not too thrilled about this one.
I must also add, Darcy Cameron is in doubt for this game due to gastro. So Ooh. That could potentially affect other Collingwood players as well. So, geez, wouldn't that be a nightmare for people that started Nick Dacos if they've got 60-odd from him last week and then he is a laid out with gastro in a bye round?
Don't do it. we'll move on from that game because, that's the only one that I can really see myself as well, Paddo. So we've got a Friday night footy. It is North
Friday afternoon footy.
I'm sorry, Friday afternoon footy. 4:20 p.m., 4:20, blaze it. We've got North Melbourne versus Carlton. North Melbourne paying a fat ass $6.05. Won't surprise me, honestly, Paddo, if they beat Carlton. They're actually playing not bad at the moment. They just need to
spend
four quarters.
And Carlton coming off a bye, and that has proven to affect teams at times as well. So, of course, gamble responsibly, but could be worth a fiver.
Sheezel.
Yeah, Sheezel's the one that jumped out to me. 111 in round four last year against Carlton in this good Friday matchup last year. I don't think that is a horrible option. I don't mind Mackay as well if you are jumping on him for a cheeky VC. I think he could score pretty large against that North Melbourne defence.
Yeah. If you've got Paddy Cripps, which I know some people do, I think that he could go bonkers in this game as well for like a 130, maybe even a 140. And we keep forgetting Luke Davies Uniac can play footy. He can play footy.
He can. He may get some attention, possibly. Carlton could opt to tag him. But if you own him, I wouldn't mind him as a VC. But I think there's probably better options in this next game.
Yeah, we'll move on to the next game then. So we have, it's also on the Friday night. Fuck, didn't realize. Fremantle versus Adelaide at Optus Stadium. Obviously, we have to mention the two Dockers in Sarong and Lukey Ryan in this one, Paddo, especially with the way that Adelaide like to bomb it into their forward line. The other options as well, I still like Rory Laird. He's a bit of a safety pick, in my opinion. What are your thoughts?
What about Luke Jackson, Dana?
Yeah, Lukey Jackson as well, I mean.
Coming off a lazy 178, pretty much playing as a ruckman and a midfielder, was a pretty inspiring performance on the weekend. Scored 107 against Adelaide last year in a forward role. So obviously we'll play ruck against Big Rob, and Rob has not got the quickness to stay with Luke Jackson on the ground. So
yeah, and I just want to mention Sean Darcy has started his on-ground running. Because he's been on the anti-gravity treadmill, Paddo. So he's
listed at 2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah. So, oh, It's the 6 week play that everyone was talking about, and it looks like it's going to be on.
Yeah, I mean, round six, he plays West Coast as well. So
Yeah, fuck.
even if he plays forward in that game, still a nice matchup.
Do you think Big Doors TV could actually play good finally, Jordan Dawson?
It might depend on what Rory Laird does. It might depend if Rory Laird plays defense or not. I wouldn't trust him. I'd want to see some form before trusting him with a VC or C.
Yep. Okay. We'll move on to Saturday's game. Marvel Stadium. This is juicy as fuck. Essendon versus St Kilda, Paddo. Now,
It is a juicy matchup, yes.
there is a midfielder that we forgot to mention.
Zach Merritt?
It's Jack Steele.
Deal.
He's still
Yeah.
low 500K range, scoring back to his brilliant best. And he is actually a cheeky VC option, in my opinion, in this one.
Yeah, I mean, he probably should have made the run sheet in fairness. He's back tackling, which is a really good sign that that shoulder is not bothering him anymore. Break even of 61, has a good record against Essendon, even though he hasn't played them since 2021. Yeah, should have a nice game there, then plays Richmond next week as well. So, yeah, look, probably stiff not to make the run sheet with his value. Yeah, I mean, could be a top 12 mid. So, yeah.
Rowan Marshall, Zach Merritt, take your fucking pick. Nick
Yeah,
Martin
I
as
think the
well.
matchups on Sunday are too juicy to even consider any of these guys as a C.
I'm just saying Nick Martin is slowly building in. He's almost cracking 100 now. Could we finally see that game that we've been expecting from him in this one, Paddo?
We could. Also must mention that Merritt's last two against St Kilda were 88 and 91. So he probably gets some attention, probably gets Windhager for company on the weekend. But I mean, he's had company already this year, Dano, and scored 127 and 132 against two of the more restrictive teams in the league. So if he can, his first 4 weeks are really tough, and that's why I didn't start him. But if he can get through these four, averaging 120, fuck, imagine what he can do in a run where he plays the Dogs, Crows, Pies, Eagles,
Yeah.
Giants, Kangaroos, Richmond, like, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll move on to Port Adelaide versus Melbourne at 7:30 p.m. on the Saturday at Adelaide Oval. Zachy Butters, you can't like really go past in this one as a cheeky VC.
Gorn as well as the other one
Yeah.
against Soldo.
Big slap at a Gorn.
Yeah.
Petrarca as well is one that you could look at. I feel like obviously, Clayton Oliver, we spoke about the most he's ever gotten is 120 and is projected like 94. I don't think this is the round to do it for him. The next round will
I
be.
would actually avoid Petrarca because even though Oliver's the likely one that Willem-Drew goes to, there's a small chance that he could go to Petrarca as well. So I would be avoiding the midfielders from Melbourne altogether. Gorn, I think, is a really good option against Port Adelaide. He will probably go pretty big against them.
Yeah. And a Connor Rosie or a Dan Houston in this one, Paddo, as well as a cheeky
Houston
VC.
would be a better option for me than Rosie, but I don't think he has the ceiling required in a round that is this juicy for these two Sunday games.
Can I just say, last time Paddo said this about Dan Houston, he went 170. So just keep that in mind.
Well, let's see what Dan Houston scored against Melbourne last year.
have a cheeky look.
128 in round 10 last year.
There we go. Whoa. We'll move on to the Sunday game. So we've got Western Bulldogs versus the West Coast Eagles at Marvel Stadium. Yeah, look, you can't go past the Bont, surely.
So I think you can because of that ankle. I think there's enough doubt there that you could probably, obviously, you're not trading him out or anything, but avoiding the captaincy. I'm actually going to VC Tim English.
Yeah, that makes sense. 100%.
Yeah, they played Harry Conway in the ruck on the weekend who got subbed out. And Briggs scored 139, and he's not even a super high scoring ruckman, Dano. So if Briggs can score 139 against Conway and BJ Williams, then English could go 200.
Do we think we're going to finally see Livingston play?
That would be pretty funny, but probably not.
Yeah, it would be funny. We'll move on then. 4 p.m. $3.44 versus $1.32. Richmond versus Sydney at the MCG on that Sunday arvo. Isaac
Yeah,
Heendog, three votes.
absolutely.
Yeah, Heendog, three votes.
How spewing would you be if you didn't start Isaac?
I know, right? How good is it when you
He has
do
Richmond and
that?
West Coast in the next two.
I know, so good.
He could go 140 plus in the next two and be averaging 145 by his bye in round five. That is nuts.
So good. So good. Anyone else in this one or
Nah.
yeah,
Oh, Grundy, maybe he's got an okay record against Richmond, but Heaney's the one. Heaney's the one because you're looking at captains here.
yeah.
I'm going to make sure I'm on the couch for these games, Dana, or at least checking the scores. I'm going English into Heaney myself.
Yep. Then we've got the Monday game, which is Hawthorn versus Geelong. I can only really see comfortably a Tom Stewart in this one. I know people have started Sicily, but fuck, I just don't understand that man.
I mean, he had a big game.
I know, but I don't understand him personally because he can go out and just fucking punch a bloke and then score a 20. Like,
Yeah, no, he had the human mosquito on him in round one against Essendon, so had a bit of attention. Hawthorn might actually put some attention onto Tom Stewart, which they've done before. What is Sicily's record like against Geelong? I think it's pretty good for memory. Oh, 76 last year, so they might even put some attention on him. So,
yeah, I'd avoid this game.
no, I mean, everyone has at least a dog that you could at least s captain with confidence on Sunday. And if you can't find a good option out of the Freo, North Melbourne games or Nick Dacos, then you probably missed lockout.
Pardo, what's your Twitter handle?
At PAWTOSCCC.
Mine is at DANEOSCCC. Anything you want to further add to this podcast, Pardo?
No.
Nope. All right. Well, from us at the Supercoach Co-Captains, I'm Dano.
And on the trade slot,
And this is us signing.
the fuck out.